Chapter 13. You are standing on the hull of your X-Wing. It is half submerged in swamp. You can barely see. The air is dark and thick, and mists drift by, enveloping you in a warm cocoon of dew. You are afraid. There is life on this planet. The place teems with it. Some of it is poisonous. Some of it is sharp-toothed. Some of it is slow and strong and hungry. And you can't see any of it. There's a splash. "What's that?" you whisper. "R2? No response. "R2! Just the burbling, steaming silence of the darkness answers your call. "R2! You rush to the side of your ship. Suddenly, the X-Wing lurches beneath you. You stick out your arms, sway, and steady yourself. R2 is gone. Ripples radiate out into the swamp. Frantically, you scan the morass, squinting into the murky gloom. R2? R2-D2! If there are hungry creatures about, they know you are here now. If the crashing of the ship hadn't told them, your screaming has. They know exactly where you are. Unfortunately, you don't know where they are. Suddenly, R2's periscope appears above the surface of the swamp. You sigh. "Get to land!" you call. "No telling what's in that swamp with you!" You stop speaking. The black back of a large creature breaches the surface of the swamp, just behind R2-D2. Then it dives. Gone! You stare, as decisive as a weather vane in a cyclone. R2's periscope is making its slow way to the nearest bank. Surely the creature's not interested in eating a hunk of circuits and metal. This is what you tell yourself, but your hands are sweating. R2 has reached the bank. His rounded dome of a head emerges from the water, followed by his cylindrical body. You begin to exhale, which is when the creature takes him. R2! You scream. He's gone, sucked back into the swamp. The water, already turbid, churns with the struggle. R2! Fight him! Come on, R2! Forget the other predators lurking nearby. You'll scream for R2. He might be a droid, but he's your friend. You'd fire your blaster, but you'd be just as likely to hit the little droid. And your lightsaber won't reach. Not nearly. So you just shout, "Fight him!" The water falls still. You stare. A bead of sweat drips from your nose. "R2? You murmur. And then, R2-D2 is flying up out of the swamp, screaming his shrill, whistling scream. He crashes into the trees, some 30 yards from the bank. You bound over the X-Wing's hull and leap to safe ground. You dash to him. He's lying on his back, tangled in branches and vines and roots, covered with swamp mess. You try to brush him off. Ugh, he smells disgusting. But you can't help smiling. "Good thing you taste so bad," you tell him. His response is not polite. You're sitting amid boxes on the bank of the swamp. You've plugged R2 into his power regenerator. You've rescued your pre-made shelter from the X-Wing and placed most of the components where they should go. And you've opened your rations box. You gnaw on a protein stick, watch your ship sink slowly into the bog, and think about how useless, how indecisive you were when R2 was getting eaten by that swamp thing. You feel sick. Then you think of Leia and Han and Chewie and even C-3PO and that flying hunk of bolts. Last you saw them, they were heading straight toward an Imperial armada. You didn't help them, just like you didn't help R2. You flew off to this planet to find some name from some hallucination you had. Yoda? There's no Yoda. You pick up a stick and start breaking it. What are we doing here, R2? Maybe I should have listened to you. Ben told me Master Yoda was here. You stare around at the overgrown fen. The whole place smells of rot. What Jedi Master would live here? There's not even a spaceport.
Spaceport? What is spaceport?
You leap to your feet and spin at the same time, hands raised in self-defense. Half a meter from you sits one of the strangest creatures you have ever seen. He's bluish-green, with long ears and bulging eyes. Your hand creeps slowly toward your lightsaber. Who are you? You demand.
I ask question first.
The creature laughs. His voice is raspy and high, as if a frog had learned to talk. Maybe he is some kind of frog. Then you think, no, his ears are too big. Before you've registered it, he is rummaging through your food.
Food this is?
He croaks.
Hungry I am.
Get out of there, that's mine.
What is yours?
He asks, chewing on one of your dehydrated veggie bars and then throwing it away. That is.
What is mine?
He continues, as if you'd interrupted him.
Yours and mine is not. There only is.
What? Stop talking nonsense. Get out of here. R2-D2, who's been beeping madly since this little gnome showed up, is reaching his long, retractable arm out to grab a protein stick that the creature has begun to nibble on. He gets hold of it. The creature refuses to let go. They start a tug of war over the protein stick. Where am I? You mutter, staring at the surreal scene. The creature has picked up a gnarled walking stick and is hitting R2-D2 over the head with it as he desperately grips the protein stick with his free hand. Oh, just let him have it, R2. R2 lets go and goes tumbling backward. The creature sits down and, with a satisfied grin, takes a bite of the protein stick. Suddenly, he contorts his strange face into an even stranger one and throws the stick over his shoulder.
How get so big do you, eating such bad food?
It's not meant for little swamp frogs, you reply. It's meant for humans. The creature peers up at you.
What are you doing here, I am wondering?
You sigh. Oh, I'm looking for a great warrior.
Great warrior, you say? War makes not one great.
You shake your head. You can barely make sense of what he's saying. Fine, I'm looking for a great Jedi Master, then.
A Jedi Master? Yoda, you want.
You perk up. You know him?
Know him, I do. Take him to you, I can. But first, eat we must. Come!
The little creature picks up the gnarled stick he's been hitting R2 with and uses it as a cane. Not that he needs one. He bounds over roots twice his height with apparently little effort. You struggle behind him, sweat dripping down your hair and into your eyes, the rich, fetid smell of the swamp clogging your nostrils. R2 rolls and totters behind you, sometimes. The rest of the time, you have to carry him. Your shirt is soaked, and your back is aching when the little frog creature comes to a stop. You put R2 down with a grunt. You are standing before what looks like a pile of roots and mud that someone cut a single door and window into. This is where Yoda lives?
My house this is. Eat we must.
The door's so low you have to crawl through it. R2 can't even fit, so you tell him to wait outside. He peers through the single round window and mutters low beeps and whistles. You hope the creature can't understand them. You've known space pirates who wouldn't use the language R2 does. Once in the house, the creature immediately busies himself with cooking. He has a pot hung over a little fire and two small cauldrons sitting among coals. And he runs back and forth between them, throwing roots and swamp weed into them. As he cooks, the smell that wafts through the room reminds you of a garbage depot in the hot season on Tatooine. Then you sense it. Something is moving behind you. You glance back and dive to the ground. There is a very large snake. Or maybe it's not a snake. It could be a slug. A slake, maybe? Or a snug? Whatever it is, it gives you the creeps. You glance between the slug and the blue-green creature. He doesn't pay any attention to it. You find another seat. The little frogman bustles over the putrid meal, humming to himself, as outside R2 mumbles a stream of electronic invective so foul you're blushing. Finally, you can't take it any longer. "When am I going to see Yoda?" you blurt.
"Later, later. Now we eat. Even Jedi Master is eating now."
The creature shoves a spoonful of root leaf stew into your mouth. It has the consistency of boiled brains, and you're about to spit it out when you stop. It doesn't taste terrible, actually. You chew and swallow.
"Good? Good!"
squeals the little creature. "Yes," you say, surprised. "Good. Can I see Yoda now?"
"First,"
says the creature,
"a story I tell."
"What? No!"
"Short story. Good story. You sit. You listen. Maybe learn something you will about Yoda."
You sigh. "If you learn something about the Jedi Master, maybe it's worth hearing the story." You settle yourself among the roots, coals, and steaming pots, making sure no more snakes are sharing your seat. The ceiling is low and smoky above you. The smell of boiling swamp weed suffuses the little house. The light is dim and red. The creature begins. "Now, I'm going to tell you the creature's story as I've heard it, passed down through the years. I'm not going to try to replicate the creature's strange way of speaking. Besides, you wouldn't know what I was talking about. I wouldn't know what I was talking about. I'm just going to tell it. It goes like this. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there lived a poor man with his three sons. The oldest son was strong and handsome, and everyone thought he was very wonderful. He agreed with them. The second son was wise and clever, and everyone thought he, too, was very wonderful. He also agreed with them. The youngest son was quiet and thoughtful, and everyone thought he was an idiot. He did not agree with them, but nobody cared what he thought. One day, the oldest son announced that he was going out into the wide world to find his fortune. His father begged him not to go.
"Stay and help your poor father on the farm. If you go, who will milk the cow and feed the chickens? We'll all starve."
But the oldest son said, "My brothers can milk the cow and feed the chickens. I'm off to seek my fortune." So he packed a bag with plenty of food for his journey, and off he went. Soon, he came to a dark and frightening forest. He hesitated just beyond the forest's shadows. And then he saw, sitting by the side of the path, a toad.
The toad croaked at him.
"Hungry I am. Share your food with me, will you?"
Yes, I realize the toad talks like the creature on Dagobah. I don't know why. That's just the way the story's always told. But the brother refused. "Be gone, you filthy toad. I am off to seek my fortune." He tried to kick the toad, and then he strode forward into the dark wood. Soon, he came to a great palace. Its walls were as tall and strong as tree trunks, and banners waved from every turret. The boy wanted to know who lived in such a castle. so he asked one of the guards. The guard said it was a great king. "Perhaps this king will make me the commander of his army," the oldest son exclaimed. "Take me to him." So he was brought before the king. The king sat on a simple throne, and he wore no crown. When the boy saw the king, he announced, "I have come to seek my fortune."
"Your fortune you seek," replied the king. "Then your fortune you shall have."
And with those words, the oldest brother was suddenly transformed into a fly. A long tongue shot out from the king's mouth, caught the oldest brother, and pulled him down the king's throat. The creature peers up at you, as if expecting you to speak. "That was a good story," you say. Really, you're just trying to be polite. You begin to stand up. "Can I see Yoda now?" The creature growls.
"Finished it, isn't? Listen, you must. Interrupt, do not. Or take you to Yoda, I won't."
You frown and force yourself to listen. The toad-like creature continues his strange tale. Back at the poor man's house, the second brother and the youngest brother work twice as hard to milk the cow and feed the chickens and care for their poor father. But after some time, the second son announced that he was going out into the wide world to find his fortune, just like his brother had. His father begged him not to go.
"Stay and help your poor father on the farm. If you go, who will milk the cow and feed the chickens? We'll starve."
But the second son said, "My brother can milk the cow and feed the chickens. I'm off to seek my fortune." So he packed a bag with plenty of food for his journey, and off he went. He followed the same road as the oldest brother, and soon he came to the same dark forest. He, like his brother, hesitated just beyond the wood's shadows. And then he saw, sitting by the side of the road, a cat.
"Hungry I am," the cat said. "Share your food with me, will you?"
Yes, the cat also talks like the creature. Again, I have no idea why. But the second brother also refused.
"Be gone, you mangy cat! I am off to seek my fortune!"
He tried to kick the cat, and then he strode forward into the dark wood. Soon he came to the same great palace, and he, too, asked to live there. The guard said he was a great king. "Perhaps the king will make me his closest advisor," the second son exclaimed. "Take me to him." So he was brought before the king. When the boy saw the king, he announced, "I have come to seek my fortune."
"Your fortune you seek?" replied the king. "Then your fortune you shall have."
And with those words, the second brother became a mouse. And the king reached out with a great paw and crushed the brother. And then the king ate him up. You were watching the little creature tell this tale. You have noticed something in him, something you had not seen before. Intensity, age, and some hidden ferocious force. You cannot put a name to it, but it scares you. Back at the poor man's house, the youngest brother worked three times as hard to milk the cow and feed the chickens and care for his poor father. But one day, the youngest brother came before his father and said, "Father, I would like to go out into the world and discover what has happened to my two brothers." His father begged him not to go.
"You are just a simple boy. You will be lost, or worse. Stay here and milk the cow and feed the chickens and take care of your poor old father."
But the youngest son said, "I have set aside 10 pails of milk for you to drink and 100 eggs for you to eat. For my brothers are gone, and there is plenty of extra food now. Eat what I have set aside for you, and I promise I will return before it is all gone." When the father saw what his youngest son had done, he agreed to let him go. So the boy packed a bag with a little bit of food and set down the same road as his brothers had. And soon he came to the same dark forest. He, like his brothers, hesitated just beyond the wood's shadows. And then he saw, sitting by the side of the road, a chicken.
"Hungry I am,"
the chicken said.
"Share your food with me, will you?"
So the youngest brother sat down and opened his bag and laid out all the food he had brought for his journey on the ground. And he and the chicken sat and ate. The chicken had an enormous appetite, and soon all the food was gone. Then the brother picked up his bag and ventured into the dark forest. His stomach began to rumble, but his bag was empty. Kilometers and kilometers he went, until his legs were shaking and he was on the verge of collapsing from hunger. Just when he thought he could go no farther, he came to the castle in the wood. He asked the guard who lived there and heard it was a great king. "Perhaps the king knows where my brothers are," he said. "May I see him?" He was so weak with hunger that he had to be carried up to the king's throne room. When the boy saw the king, he fell to his knees. "Please, king, help me. I seek my brothers who ventured into this wood and disappeared. Also," he added, "I am very hungry." The king laughed, and his laugh sounded like this.
"Buck, buck, ah!"
Then the king said,
"Brothers you shall not see. Dead they are. But this chicken feed you must take. To your father's chickens you will give it, and hungry again you shall never be."
So the boy returned home with no brothers, but with the chicken feed. His father cried with joy when he saw his youngest son return to him. Then they fed the king's chicken feed to the chickens. And forever after, when those chickens laid eggs, the eggs were made of solid gold, and the boy and his father lived happily ever after. The creature stopped speaking. He is still staring at you, but now with a satisfied expression on his strange green face. "That's it?" you ask. He nods happily. You gaze at the little creature. The magic you felt when he spoke is gone. He is a strange, lonely little swamp toad. Nothing more. Your voice is loud and angry when you say, "That had nothing to do with Yoda." You rise to your feet and hit your head hard on the ceiling. "Why are you wasting my time?" The creature looks crestfallen. He turns away from you. You sit back down and sigh. "I'll never be a Jedi at this rate." The creature murmurs.
"Why wish you become Jedi,
You stare at the flickering fire beneath the pot of root leaf stew. "I don't know. To save the galaxy from the Empire, and to help my friends." The creature peers at you, as if he knows there is more. "And," you continue, "and, well, because of my father, I guess."
"Ah,"
says the creature, crawling up onto his little bed and sitting there. He kicks his short legs back and forth before him, like a small child.
"Powerful Jedi was your father.
You roll your eyes. "How do you know? You don't even know who I am. This is ridiculous." You stand up and hit your head on the ceiling again. You curse and turn toward the door. Just outside the window, R2 is jumping up and down, trying to get your attention. "Yeah, R2, we're leaving." You're clambering over roots and chairs and stools to get to the door. Behind you, the creature closes his great green and black eyes. His voice is no more than a murmur.
"I cannot teach him. He has no patience."
You hesitate at the door. The creature is answered by a voice, as vast and calm as the deserts of Tatooine.
"He will learn patience."
You spin around. There is no one else in the room. The creature says,
"He is not ready."
"Yoda!" you cry, staring at the strange little creature. "You are Yoda!" Obi-Wan Kenobi's voice suffuses the little house.
"Was I any better when you taught me?"
"He is too old,"
the creature, Yoda, replies.
"Too old to begin the training."
You move swiftly to the side of his bed and kneel, peering at the strange blue-green skin, wizened like a raisin, white wisps of hair flying in all directions from his otherwise bald scalp. He is hideous. He is ridiculous. He is Yoda. "Yoda, please," you say. "I've already learned so much." And then you pause before saying, I understand the story now. It was about Yoda." The creature turns his luminous eyes upon you. "You were the frog, the cat, the chicken, and the king. I was each of the three brothers."
"The first two brothers you were,"
Yoda says, pointing a gnarled finger in your face. "I was," you say, and you let your head fall. "But I won't be. I will be the youngest boy. I will trust you. I will listen to you. I will learn." And then you add, "I'm not afraid." Yoda's eyes darken. He rises up, taller and taller, until he seems to fill the room. Until it seems that he is the greatest, grandest, largest creature you have ever met.
"You will be,"
he intones, looking down at you, through you, and deep into you.
"Oh, you will be."
Lesson Mew. The Force is not multiple choice. So, which are you, young Padawan? One of the older brothers or the youngest? I know what you'd like to say. We'd all like to say that we're the youngest brother. But are you really? Let's find out. Are you familiar with those teen magazines that have multiple choice tests? You answer a bunch of questions, and if you choose mostly A, you're this kind of person, and mostly B, you're that other kind. We're going to do one of those tests. One question, three options. You might want to meditate before we begin. Really? Okay, have you meditated? Then here we go. It's lunchtime in the school cafeteria. You exit the food line, gripping your tray of steaming sloppy joe. You look around. To your right, you see your friends. The table is full except for one chair next to your best friend. You know your best friend has been having a really rough day. Straight ahead of you, there's a new kid. A group of mean kids has sat down around him. They look like they're already starting to give the kid a hard time. To your left, there's someone in your class who sits alone every day. She would obviously like to sit with someone, but nobody gives her a chance. So, do you A, go sit beside your friend? He or she is your best friend and needs your support today. The other kids can wait. B, sit down with the new student. If the mean kids tease him, you'll stand up to them, or at least let the new kid know you're on his side. C, join the table with the loner. She's been suffering the longest, and it's time to help her out. Think about it. Which will it be? All right, ready for the answer? It's a trick question. Jedi do not act hypothetically. They act in real life. Next time you see A, B, or C going down, do something about it. For real. That is the way of the Jedi.